Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on 96.5 FM or on the AM dial at 630 kilohertz, thank you guys for listening and tuning into our terrestrial stations. And of course, last but not least, our listening audience outside the wire, many of you in occupied territory on the live streaming. Thank you also for your support. Thanks for being out there. I just want to let you know, you are not alone. www.radiofreeredoubt.com is our website. That's how you can go to learn more and find out how you can listen to this on the podcast version of this after the show, and where you can find all of our shows. This every Saturday morning from 9 to 9:30 a.m., on the American Christian Network affiliate, LBS, Liberty Broadcasting System, every Saturday with your weekly 30-minute blast, reviewing the headlines and making sense of all of the swirling, confusing information that's out there. And there is a lot out there. But most importantly, you need to understand you are not alone. All right, you see what's going on in the world? You're not crazy. It's really potentially as bad as it looks like it could be. But our hope is not in man or any earthly solution. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, who we are celebrating this weekend, the resurrection. Happy Passover and happy Resurrection Day weekend. There's definitely some stuff heating up in the news. In North Korea right now, and I've got a lot of information that I'm going to be covering on that today, this morning. But there are a couple of local issues. Some other issues I wanted to bring to your attention. This one is how timely. A new educational tool against misinformation, brought to you by Facebook. Well, they're saying false news and hoaxes are harmful to our community and make the world less informed. All of us have a responsibility to curb this spread of false news. At Facebook, we have been focusing on three key areas: disrupting economic incentives because most false news is financially motivated, building new products to curb the spread of false news, and helping people make more informed decisions when they encounter false news. And one of the action items that they're proposing is that you can report false news. So anything that doesn't fit, basically you can flag stuff, have it immediately pulled down from news if you think it's inappropriate or false news. So essentially Facebook is helping to run what will most likely amount to a leftist, globalist, anti-God agenda. The news feed is a place for authentic communications. Improving news literacy is a global priority. They just basically identify themselves right there. They're after global priorities. So anything that goes against the global priority, or globalism, is going to be fake news. Anything that undermines the global system. False news runs counter to our mission to connect people with stories they find meaningful. We will continue working on this, and we know we have more work to do. So they're actually creating a program where people can have what they determine to be false news. Anything that's disrupting, they're going to be building products to curb the spread of false news. This is a very scary trend here, indeed. But it doesn't have to come from electronic media. Got right here in my hand a local newspaper. And oh, by the way, thanks, Governor Butch Otter. The leftist, Republican in name only, Butch Otter strikes again, vetoing a bill that would have relieved Idaho citizens from paying sales tax on food items. But nope, he vetoes it. Despite the overwhelming majority of the legislators, I hope they run right over him after this. You know what? There is a candidate we've introduced to you a couple of years ago. Idaho citizens, listen up. Russ Fulcher nearly beat Butch Otter. But boy, did they attack him, try to destroy him, undermine him, and bring in support other candidates that could split that vote that would have undoubtedly gone to Russ Fulcher and handing him a victory. Butch Otter's got to go. He's got to go. And this is just the latest. Vetoes the grocery bill. But there's another one here talking about Easter. Of course, in their wisdom, they got this piece here by Sholay Patrick, the wife of the senior editor. And of course, we've seen how leftist the Coeur d'Alene Press has gone. She's going to give us some wisdom on Easter's Passover connections. What's in a name? For two among the most important holidays in Judeo-Christian tradition, quite a lot. Early Christians did not celebrate Easter by that or any other name. Essentially, instead of putting this shedding light of truth on what this really is, what we've come to call Easter, is really the Passover. And she misses the mark here. I'll get to that in just a little bit. But I want to talk to you guys about what's going on with North Korea. This is a very serious threat. I know crazy leader of Kim Jong-un, he can't touch us. Well, we are at AMCON 4 right now with the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network to raise awareness and put out some action items specifically geared toward, there are other action items too that come along with being on AMCON 4, but specifically these action items are disconnecting antennas from radios when not in use. Stow any unused radios, laptops, or any other electronics equipment away in Faraday protection. And also join in the practice nets this coming week to make sure that their radios, equipment, and skill sets, software, everything is up to date and maintained properly. That is a network designed to go on the air to help begin quickly sharing information and connecting like-minded, conservative, preparedness-minded patriots in the event of a catastrophic situation, whether it's a wildfires or hurricane or earthquake or cyber attack on the United States. I just got this in this morning from somebody that's connected to, well, various different intelligence sources, but from this one here, RKSO and RKSG are on battle stations. RKSO is Osan Air Base. The RKSG is Pyongtaek Air Base. And AFP is the Agency France Presse. The Agency France Presse, or AFP, suggests last-minute negotiations between Beijing, China, and Pyongyang, North Korea, have broken down. And this is where we were hoping that the Chinese would be able to bring North Korea in line. And it's sounding like those are broken down. Strikes may be imminent, but currently known rules of engagement state that strikes are limited to test areas only unless they attack, as tests usually happen before dawn local time. Pentagon completely ran out of parking yesterday. They set up remote busing from civilian parking lots A local air pattern was made for helicopters. Looks like it's going to happen this time. So take that with a grain of salt. I don't know the original source of this report, but apparently it's an analyst that has a track record of accuracy in the past. So it's not something we want to necessarily dismiss outright. But there are several different news sources here. From Reuters, China's national airline Air China has canceled some flights to the North Korean capital, Pyongyang, due to poor demand, but it has not suspended all flights there. CCTV had reported that all flights run by the airline between the two cities were to be suspended indefinitely. And keep this in mind. This is also reports coming out from North Korea that they've ordered an evacuation of the capital city of Pyongyang. That is not a good sign. Also confirmed by Russian news outlets that 25% of the city, and this was as of about 48 hours ago, 25% of the city had been evacuated from Pyongyang. Japan is readying for a new North Korea emergency. They're saying the United States has deployed the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson into the waters near the Korean Peninsula amid rising tensions over North Korea. The Japanese government, which has asked the United States to provide advance consultation if it decides to launch military action against North Korea, has ramped up preparations for unexpected situations. They anticipate the possibility of a joint response with the United States should a contingency arise. Tomorrow night, I'm going to have Mark Goodwin, the author and the founder of Prepper Recon, the podcast and blog. He'll be on tomorrow night. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about his new book. We're going to talk about practical preparedness steps that you can take. You should have been doing this for years, at the very least for several months. So we're going to talk about some things that you can do to try to expedite things. We don't know where this could end up going. We do know that there are a couple of satellites that pass over the United States. One apparently reportedly stabilized, the other one not stabilized. And the reports are that the satellites are defunct and do not work because they haven't put out any signals. But that would be like telling our troops in Afghanistan that roadside bomb up there, it hasn't been putting out any signal, so it probably doesn't work. Let's just walk past it. A bomb only needs to receive a command, a signal. So, and they could be just simply scientific or communication satellites that they got up into space and didn't do what they were supposed to, and they don't work. It could be benign. But we also have a former CIA director of electromagnetic energy weapons stating that the North Koreans have at least one warhead on one of those satellites that's floating over the United States a couple of days, times a day. There's other stuff here. There's a bunch here, actually, from the Washington Examiner. Amid warnings that North Korea and Iran have plans to take out parts of the U.S. electric grid through a cyber attack or atmospheric nuclear blast, the Pentagon is taking steps to both protect the nation's communications and power lifeline. It's not likely that's going to happen. They've pretty much said what we needed to do to protect our power grid effectively should have been started 20 years ago. So scrambling now that the North Koreans start pulling stunts, it's a little late. It's a little late. I've got an article here I want to share with you guys. I'm going to post on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. TexasOnline.net. Preppers event equips survivalists for catastrophe and eternity. This is a faith-based Christian church-driven preparedness expo, which took place last month, put on by the Little Cypress Baptist Church in Orange, Texas. they hosted their 7th annual Crisis Preparation and Sustainable Living Expo. And I want to remind you guys, this is not something done out of fear. This is something done to place Christians in the strategically in position to not be needy and not to need help, but to be able to help those who are in need. When you yourself are not starving to death, it's easy to minister and help others. And others who will be, virtually brought to their knees, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and be receptive to the gospel. And so that's what these guys' approach is, and it's appropriate. This is something that the church should be taking the lead on. So good for these guys. I'll post that article here as well. So tomorrow night with Mark Goodwin, we're going to talk about some practical steps. And I'll tell you right now, you can go to Prepper Recon right now. Go to PrepperRecon.com, click on his free 7-step prepper checklist. And when you put your email in for that, he will email that directly to you. He'll also put you on the mailing list so that you can be notified, because you're going to be giving away a bunch of gear in May. That's going to be starting in May. So, but even without that, all of that, just getting the free 7-step prepper checklist in your hand right now is a great start. And there's tons of resources. Survivalblog.com is one of my favorites, all-time favorites, with archives for articles on everything you need to know about self-sufficient living. But get that 7-step prepper guide checklist right now from Mark Goodwin by going to PrepperRecon.com. And that'll help you. We're going to be back here with segment 2, and I'm going to talk about Easter versus Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day, by the way. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Do you ever wonder how we got to this point in America when we can hardly recognize it anymore? I'll tell you how. We've handed the children over to a communist agenda, and shame on you, the generation before mine and the one before that, for your apathy. Don't believe it's an agenda? Vladimir Lenin, the patriarch of Soviet communism, said, "Give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted." Well, we're seeing the fruit that those seeds have turned into. We're watching the communist agenda unfold in our society and in our public schools and in our institutions of higher indoctrination. Someone a little smarter introduced this concept first, however. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. What seeds are you allowing to be planted? Are they godly seeds, or the atheistic, poisonous seeds Lenin spoke of? Bob Holliday said it best by posing this rhetorical question. What Jewish family in the Bible would have sent their kids off to Rome to be educated? Well, that's exactly what some of you are doing. Just think it over. There are alternatives, you know. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to John Jacob Schmidt at 630 kilohertz on KTRW Spokane.
We are back with segment 2 at Radio Free Redoubt. And segment 2 is brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com. Come to beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. The Riverfront Suites in St. Mary's, Idaho are the hideaway that you're looking for, featuring 7 furnished suites less than 50 yards from the river dock. Need a place to get away? RiverfrontSuites.com. Check them out today. All right. This is Passover. And, well, yesterday was Passover, and tomorrow's Resurrection Day. Before I get into that, I want to share something with you. I just got this from Hillsdale College. I'm going to read this to you. America's founders had a unique opportunity to start government anew. While drawing on the accumulated knowledge and experience of Western civilization, from ancient Greece and Rome to the English constitutional tradition, based on principles of equity or equality and consent, the Constitution secures the rights and promotes the happiness of all citizens. The great controversies of American history, including the current crisis of progressivism, have centered around the meaning of those principles. There is a study coming up, and this is important. I want to encourage you to do this with your families. I want to invite you to join me to do this with you on our own separately, but to do this along with you while you're going through this with your families as well. This is called The Study of American History. It's by Hillsdale College, and it is free. They have a number of great, great courses to learn about your heritage and your history. You cannot restore Americanism if you do not know what that even means or where you came from. Most of our youth today are fine with globalism and being global citizens, even among Christians and so-called conservative families. Their children are leaving the ideals of their parents. Because, well, mostly because the parents don't even hold those ideals anymore. They don't even know what it means. So it's time for us to get back to our roots. The Study of American History is the free course that's going on right now with Hillsdale College, and you can register for free and begin taking that. There's courses on the Constitution and just numerous different courses that you can take. All right, now... there's something that came to mind, to my attention, when I read in the paper in a editorial section, a very secular person reading about, writing about Easter's Passover connections. Early Christians did not celebrate Easter by that or any other name. That part is true. Actually, Easter was co-opted, or Easter co-opted Christianity. And one thing that she puts in here, it says that Pesach, Passover, commemorates the biblical story of Exodus, when Hebrew slaves were freed from bondage in Egypt. Not entirely true. I mean, it's only partially true. It was during that era, it was in Exodus, and it was during the time when the Hebrew slaves were being freed from bondage in Egypt. It was the process that God was taking them through by bringing judgments on the Egyptians. But Passover is not about freeing the slaves in Egypt. Passover is a symbol of the Messiah to come. It's a symbol of, and this is what was required, the shedding of a lamb and taking that blood and putting it over the doorpost of the home. When the angel of death comes, it passes over the home, and the firstborn child would not be killed. This is very significant. That's what Passover is. It's not about freeing slaves. It's about the symbol of the coming Messiah, the shedding of innocent blood and being passed over, being saved because of that blood. And what we celebrate on what many people call Easter is actually the resurrection of our Messiah. Passover, which was Friday, that's what we celebrate, the Passover, to remember, of course, God freeing the slaves, but how he did that was, that was one of the processes that took place in that series of judgments to make the Pharaoh let the Jewish slaves go. But Passover itself is such a significant event, still celebrated today by the Jewish community. And we should celebrate it as well, in my opinion, as Christians, because of what that symbolizes. But really, our holiday is not Easter. That is a pagan holiday, very clearly. And she lays this out. She's secular. And there's plenty of Christian resources that point to the very same thing. we celebrate Resurrection Day, the day that our Messiah, our King, defeated death and rose from the dead. I want to read something to you from UCG.org. This is the United Church of God on a blog called Beyond Today, which covers this in depth. I really want to invite you guys to learn more about this. We're supposed to be set apart from the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. And when we partake in pagan rituals, we are becoming of the world, which we're not supposed to do. So what are the real origins of Easter? Well, this author goes through and explains the historical background of Easter and how it came to be and how it infiltrated the church and some of these different symbols. That it was offered as a substitute for the Passover season. So this is a really good article, one of the best that I've seen. Easter does not accurately represent Jesus Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, though it appears to do so to those who blindly accept religious tradition. In fact, it distorts the truth of the matter. Easter correctly belongs to the Babylonian goddess it is named after, Astarte, also known as Ashtoreth or Ishtar, whose worship is directly and explicitly condemned in the Bible. The ancient religious practices and fertility symbols associated with her cult existed long before Christ, and regrettably, they have largely replaced and obscured the truth of his death and resurrection. When confronted with these facts about Easter, many professing Christians might raise the question to justify their continuance, well, with hundreds of millions of well-meaning Christians observing Easter, how could it be wrong? Well, tomorrow night, RadioFreeRedoubt.com, Mark Goodman will be joining us. Join us then at 8 p.m. You have a blessed rest of the weekend and happy Resurrection Day.